Following 48 Renfro Valley Gathering programs have been put together for your listening pleasure. I'm sure that you are familiar with this program and that you know that each program is built around a central theme. An attempt has been made here to include a representative sampling of the several hundred themes used in the nearly 1,500 broadcasts since the program went on the air the first time on 5 September 1943. The best programs were developed in the first 10 years of the program's life. Unfortunately, none of those programs were ever recorded, to my knowledge. And although the themes are repeated from time to time, and some more often than others, some of those early themes that I thought were so good have never been repeated. Now, Mr. Lair, of course, is no longer connected with Renfro Valley programming, and he's getting rather old. I think he'll be 79 next year. And for that reason, it appears that those early programs are lost forever. In presenting these programs, no attempt has been made to keep them in chronological or alphabetical order. The programs are taken from a 10-year period, 1955 to 1964. No attempt has been made to include or exclude any songs, since themes are the main purpose of the compilation. There's much duplication of songs. Sometimes a program will end and the following program begin with the same song. That is caused by the picking and choosing of programs and is not representative of the program as a whole. Now a word about the quality of these dubs. The dubs are all from Renfro Valley masters. However, in some cases, the masters had been mistreated before I obtained access to them. Therefore, some of the dubs are very poor quality. Nevertheless, they have been included because the themes which are not available on other masters. Of course, you realize that the ads in these old programs are no longer current. The Renfro Valley Bugle is still available, but the subscription rate is now $4 per year. The bell which you hear in the background at the end of each program is not really a bell. It is an automobile brake drum and a hickory stick. Or sometimes Marie Farmer might use the heel of her shoe instead of the stick. To say that the Renfro Valley Gathering has been my favorite radio program for the past 30 years would be an understatement. The Renfro Valley Gathering is in reality an extension of the programming that Mr. Lair used to do over in Chicago on WLS before he ever started the Renfro Valley Barn Dance. He had various names for those programs, but what comes to mind right now is Life Down on Renfro Creek, in which he would discuss the life in the mountains and etc. And I at that time was living in Washington, D.C., and there's no place that a country boy can be as unhappy and as lonesome as in a big city. So I used to tune in every Saturday night, if the weather would allow me to get WLS, and listen for Mr. Lair to talk about life down on Renfro Creek. And one of those Saturday nights, I don't recall which one, I was listening when a girl called Linda Parker, the Sunbonnet Girl, sang a new song that Mr. Lair had just written. It's the same song that you hear at the beginning and end of every one of these programs. Take Me Back to Renfro Valley. Well, to say that nostalgia ruled that night would be an understatement. I've been a convert of John Lair ever since. I hope you'll get the pleasure out of listening to these programs that I did in putting them together. Now relax in your favorite easy chair and get ready to enjoy a radio program that is really different. For the Renfro Valley Gathering is a different radio program to any other on the air now or in the past. It's not a religious program. However, hymns and churchy-type music are always used to begin and end the program and sometimes in the body of the program. It's not really a church program, although many people have identified with it as a church. Mr. Larry has received many, many letters addressed to him as the Reverend and the Brother and the Father, the Bishop, Elder, or even a Rabbi. It's not a country program, although country songs are sometimes used, as frequently used, in fact. The Gathering is a unique creation of John Lehrer. He created it, and he guided it through its first 25 years. Listeners to The Gathering, through their memories or imagination, can go back to a time-tested way of life in the mountains of Kentucky that is now gone forever. The program has also reached the hearts of many more than East Kentuckians, as attested by more than 3 million visitors to Renfro Valley during the first 20 years of its broadcast, and the millions of others who listened intently each Sunday morning to hear John Lehrer say,
"Good morning, folks. This is John Lehrer speaking to you from Renfro Valley, Kentucky, greeting you on behalf of all the Renfro Valley folks gathered in from over the hills and up the hollers in a custom older than any of us now living can remember. With us this morning, as every Sunday morning, are a lot of folks who have come many miles to visit Renfro Valley, to go through our big Pioneer Museum, eat a meal in one of our dining rooms, sleep in one of our huge log cabins, visit the Saturday night barn dance, and join us, along with unseen friends and distant neighbors everywhere, at the regular Sunday morning Renfro Valley Gathering. Due to unpreventable circumstances, we didn't get to have our Mother's Day broadcast this year. Since every day should be Mother's Day, we're not going to let missing the official day keep us from paying a tribute to the mothers of America, a tribute they all deserve, and one that their sons and daughters want to join us in presenting. As usual, we got a lot of mail on Mother's Day asking for songs and poems to be dedicated to the mother of the writer. Now, sorry we can't accommodate all, but we'll use on today's broadcast many of the songs that most of them have asked for. And now, opening hymn, Tell Mother I'll Be There, sung for Miss Margaret Harms for her birthday and requested by her sons Johnny and Herbert. All right, Miss Bess, start it out for us on the old parlor organ. Let's everybody sing.
Yeah.
And among the many mothers we'll honor this morning are these with birthdays today. Mrs. A.D. Carter, Richmond, Virginia, is 101 years old, as reported by her grandson, Harry Turner, of Tampa, Florida. Aunt Susan Pentland, Aurora, Illinois, is 99, still hale and hearty. A number of her relatives and friends are visiting her today. Mrs. George Scoggins of Denver, Colorado, is 98. Mrs. B. Talton of Bismarck, North Dakota, an early settler there, is also 98. Mrs. James Wilson, Orlando, Florida, is 96. And Mrs. Jesse Tumpet, Indianapolis, Indiana, 95. Mr. and Ms. Dale Collins of Rochester, Michigan, have been married 67 years this morning. Mr. Collins very gallantly says it doesn't seem near that long. Mr. and Ms. Roy Bannerman of Selma, Alabama, have been married 63 years. Mr. and Ms. Clay Albertson of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Mr. and Ms. Brady Holmes, Little Rock, Arkansas, each 61. Mr. and Ms. D.B. Parton of Tampa, Florida, 55. Mr. and Ms. O.G. Whalen, Louisville, Kentucky, 53. Mr. and Ms. Robert Mason, Dubuque, Iowa. Mr. and Ms. Earl Carter, Waycross, Georgia. Mr. and Ms. Simeon Wells, Ogden, Utah, all celebrating golden wedding anniversaries today. Now we'll start out with our songs for Mother, beginning with one requested for today by Jenny Goodlett of Jacksonville, Florida, who wants to hear the Coon Creek girls sing, "I Wouldn't Trade the Silver in My Mother's Hair for All the Gold in the World." Says that's long been a favorite of hers. She remembers it so well because as a child growing up in a small income family, she was often envious of some of her schoolmates who seemed to have everything to make life worthwhile, much more than she did. Her mother, aging prematurely with work and worry, didn't go so well dressed as the mothers of the other girls, but Jenny used to console herself with the feeling that she was really richer than all the others in having such a wonderful mother, a feeling that found fullest expression in the words of her favorite song. Now that her mother has gone on to her reward, the song means all the more to her. It's often in her mind, and she frequently asks someone to sing it for her. Today, she wants it on the air so that her sister, Mrs. Horace Marley in Decatur, Alabama, can hear it also. So here's your song, Jenny, sung by the Coon Creek girls who feel just the same way about their own mother. Song this morning, Roy Davidson will tell you what the name stands for letter by letter. But the word mother to most of us means more than that. It's almost a religion. A religion of unselfishness, of deep loyalty and deeper love. A religion of real service. In no other human heart can a child find such understanding, in no other arm such comforting love as in those of mother. Father will go a long way for him, some more than others, but it's in mother's keeping that God has left the welfare of the little ones he sends into this world. To mother falls a lot of hovering over a child, attending to every want and need and wish with a wholehearted devotion that knows no equal in any heart that beats. God's made his mother's job, her responsibility, to do this. To repay her for it, he's given her a mother love that makes her feel well repaid for all she does for us. And it's a good thing God thought to do this, because I'm afraid that in all too many cases, it's the only reward she gets. Because no child that ever lived has yet fully repaid a mother for all that she did. It's a debt we repay by raising children of our own and doing for them what mother did for us. We can't pay it off in any other coin, but we can pay interest on it by showing mother every care and attention we can as they grow up, letting her know how much we love and appreciate her. Now, although you'll never realize and fully know the meaning of the word mother until after she's left you, this song may serve to remind you of some of the things that mother stands for. Such of his 15 brothers and sisters as are listening in this morning will be glad to know that his poem, We'll Wear a White Rose, will be featured. It was written at the death of their mother, Ms. S.H. Wetmore, who passed away at the age of 95, just before Mother's Day in 1953. And it will, I'm sure, strike a responsive chord in the hearts of all of us who this morning wear a white flower for a sainted mother who is with us now only in memories. Let me, as one who knows the tragedy of having lost a precious mother years ago, raise my voice to remind you who will wear a red flower each of Mother's Day that the time will come all too soon when it'll have to be a white one. And always remember this, you may have many relatives and friends and acquaintances, but to each of us is given only one mother. And when she's gone, there'll never be anybody else that can take her place. So hold a mother's tired, withered old hand as long as you can. Walk with her every step of the way that you can. Stay with her as long as God lets her stay with you. For when he takes her away to be with his angels, she's forever lost to you until the day of that great reunion. Now think of these things, and each Mother's Day as you sit in church beside your mother with a red flower on your lapel, for the time will come and soon when she'll no longer be beside you, and the flower you wear for her will no longer be a red one.
Dear old mother of mine.
It's been our happy privilege on every Mother's Day to wear a rose of deepest red and honor her that way. But now she's gone to heaven, and we miss her smile so bright. And the rose we'll wear on Mother's Day must be a rose of white. We've learned a truer meaning of the roses for that day. As the roses bloom and wither, just so Mom has passed away. But again we see their beauty, though in memory's faded light. We'll never wear the red again, but we'll always wear the white. We'll wear the white and strive to live as Mom would have us do. We'll thank God for the red and white as Mom would thank him too. We'll love the white as we did the red, perhaps a little dear. For it'll remind us that Mom is gone and draw us a little near. So we'll cherish our precious memories of the reds as we wear the white. And we'll look forever upwards as the roses look to the light. And we'll think of Mom as the days go by, and we'll pray for her every night. For the rose we'll wear on Mother's Day will be a rose of white.
And I'll wear a white rose.
I just wish we had time to sing all the mother songs that have been requested that all the people have sent in. Of course, we couldn't do that if we did a program like this every day in the week. But we've got one more we want to be sure and get on for this morning because it was a very popular one in our mail list. The quartet will sing for you now, That Wonderful Mother of Mine. Faces of the wonderful crowd here with us this morning that all of you feel that way about your own mother, which is as it should be, of course. Those who have come the greatest distance to be with us are Mr. and Ms. Virgil Thompson, daughter Gail from Hollywood, California, Mr. and Ms. Arthur Wisehart and Donnie from Minneapolis, Minnesota, Mr. and Ms. Harry Means are here with a party of five from DeLand, Florida. We don't have many large groups this morning. The biggest, I believe, is Mr. and Ms. Anson Perdue with a party of eight from Asheville, North Carolina. James Rose, Coshocton, Ohio, with a party of five little boys, neighbor boys that he takes on trips occasionally. Mr. and Ms. D. Callerton, and a party of five from Marietta, Georgia. Now it's time for our closing hymn, another fine mother song. So Miss Bess, if you'll strike the chord on the old parlor organ, we'll all join in singing, My Mother's Prayers Have Followed Me.
I grieve
Again, it's been a pleasure to have you with us in Renfro Valley for the gathering this morning. We hope you'll come back again. And you who listen in and don't attend in person, remember to be with us next Sunday for another Renfro Valley gathering.